obedience and sacrifice, urgent conditions of grace. It sounds to me like going to the auto mechanic to get your horn fixed. And when you arrive at the garage, there's a sign on the door that says, honk for service. Now, there must be some kind of meaning to this. Whoever put this title down, and the more I think about it, the more I realize that there can be meaning to it. But not for the sake of knowing God's grace in your life initially. Because you don't obey and you don't serve to get God's grace initially, do you? For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now, I haven't had a chance to smoke out of the woods whoever put this title down, but I'm convinced that they must have in mind obedience and service or sacrifice in the area of service. The idea that when you are filled, you must spill over and give. And the more you give, the more you receive. And the more you receive, the more you have to give. And the more you give, the more you can receive. Does anyone here think that we're getting close to the target on that? And after all, this is a service-oriented weekend, I understand, in the study. With this in mind, I would like to call your attention to Matthew, the 20th chapter, where you have an interesting parable by Jesus. He says, starting with verse 1, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, which was a day's wage at that time, he sent them into his vineyard. This was at the very beginning of the day, and the evidence was that it was about 6 o'clock in the morning. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. Evidently, others who had not previously been there. Maybe they slept in until 8:30. So it's now 9 o'clock. And he said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. No agreement as to the wage. Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing idle. And he saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. Well, you can't miss at 1 hour before closing time. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his stewards, Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny, a day's wage, for 1 hour's work. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few are chosen. The context of this parable is right after Jesus had made his statement concerning it being very difficult for rich people to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Someone showed me the other day that Jesus didn't say it was impossible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. But in order for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, that little entrance in the gate, the camel would have to get rid of all of his baggage and get down on his knees. Very interesting. And the disciples, when they heard that, always had Peter at the front. Jesus had said to the rich young ruler, give up all you have and follow me. And Peter and the disciples had. So, of course, Peter rushes in for the occasion and says, that's what we have done. We have given up everything. So now what are you going to do for us? What are we going to get out of it? And in these verses just before Matthew 20, Jesus was very tender. He didn't rebuke Peter for looking for the big rewards. In fact, he met him right where he was. And he said, you're going to get a reward. You are going to sit on the throne and judge the 12 tribes of Israel, and you are going to receive 100-fold and everlasting life. In the Gospel of Mark, it sandwiches in one little other insight, that you are going to receive 100-fold with persecution, and then it goes right on with the rest of the rewards. And then, of course, he proceeds with his parable. Now, this parable indicates that the kingdom of God is an entirely different system than the kingdom of man. In this life, we earn what we get, and we get what we earn. School and studies and work and vocation, whatever it is, everything is based upon that. We are definitely on the merit system. And if we are not on the merit system, we cry out unfair. That's why it's so difficult for us to really get into this idea of something being given to someone. I was teaching a class, and the very first class session, I told the students that I'd like to give them their choice. Would they like to come to class and everyone really work hard and earn what they get? Or would they like to all have A's, regardless of what happened, and simply sign up for the class and get their A grade? It made no difference whether they attended class or whether they stayed away. Well, their first reaction was, there must be some kind of trick. Their second reaction was, this must be baiting us to try and find out what we'll choose. And the ones that choose the A's without any effort, they'll probably flunk. And so they began to do some fancy footwork to figure out the teacher. After all, that's where it's at, you know, in school. You've got to figure out the teacher. Two ways that they get their grades, figure out the teacher and cram. And the more we talked about it, the more we actually realized that the way our world is structured, in business or education or whatever it might be, that We are geared, we are programmed to get in there and slug it out and really work it up. The merit system. It's very seldom that you ever hear of anything else. It did happen one time in the Northwest. A friend of mine at Laurelwood Academy, during the summer, went into Oregon State and signed up for some education classes, but he got busy and was never able to go to a single class, and he forgot to go through the red tape to drop the classes. And at the end of the summer, he got his grades, B's in both classes. He was very pleased with this gift system from Oregon State University. I'm not sure to this date whether he really confessed the whole thing. And often, because of the lack of the gift system and the merit system, we've transferred the whole program into the church and the work for God. And so people have the idea that in church life and in the kingdom of heaven eternally, that we're going to be able to somehow earn it. But it's not so. Salvation is a gift. We know it in theory. Do we really know it by experience? That's the question. Now, in this parable, it is obvious that if the labor union had been around, some people would have had to have answered some real hard questions. It's obvious that because there's an entirely different system, that we would have to get used to beforehand the kind of program that heaven operates on, or we're going to be taken by surprise and are going to be chagrined and might even cry out in anger. These people who loitered in the marketplace all day long until the last hour are paid in the end the same as those who labored all day. If you study this carefully, you'll discover that the rewards and the payment would have to be on the basis of something else than what is given at the end of the day. And the only alternative is that the rewards of working in the vineyard, in the service itself, are as great or greater than the rewards at the end of the day. That's the only possible way of getting this together. So that the people who had worked all day with the owner of the vineyard were the ones who were ahead, if they only knew it. And the ones who had only worked for 1 hour and got the same reward at the close that the others would worked all day were really the losers. Because if the rewards are in the service itself, then the ones who have served the shortest time are the ones who have lost. Do we have an idea of what it means to have the fellowship and the communion and the joy of working with the Master? Does it mean that the work is always going to be easy? No, not at all. Did the disciples of Jesus always have it easy? Not at all. Many times they had it hard, and every one of them died a martyr's death except one. Does the missionary who goes to a foreign field always have it easy? No, not at all. Many people have buried loved ones. Many people have contracted diseases. Many people have gone through all kinds of heartache in working with the Master in the vineyard. I remember meeting a man in England who had gone to Upper Egypt, one of the lowest forms of civilization except for some South Sea Islands at that time. And there he had lived and worked in and out of the mud and dung huts of the people of Upper Egypt, where only the strong survived past infancy. And he contracted one of their diseases. And as a result, he carried with him the effects of this rest of his life. He was teaching at New Bold College, and every morning it took him a long time to be able to gear up for the day because of the drag on his own system of that disease and the toll it had taken. Unfair. No, not if you consider the rewards in the service of the one who serves. Now, when it comes to the mission service, whether it's at home or abroad, if God has called us into his work, whether as a layman or otherwise, it would be a sacrifice not to do it rather than to do it. Our idea of sacrifice sometimes is a little distorted. Obedience and sacrifice, when it comes to going into the vineyard, are simply the results of hearing the call of God initially. And the sacrifice is not in going into the vineyard. It would be in not going into the vineyard. Why does a missionary go to the mission field? Because he has chosen to sacrifice himself? No, the one who has gone to the mission field legitimately is the one who has been called. And it would be a sacrifice for him to stay home. People in this life who have had some hard experience, have gone through some sort of heartache and loss, often realize afterwards that it was one of the best things that ever happened to them. Have you ever talked to some of them? They didn't feel that they had gone through sacrifice. Instead, the fellowship and the communion and the sense of God's presence and his comfort and his blessing, in spite of it all, were worth it. In the book Christ Object Lessons, we're told that there are those who have given themselves to Christ who see no opportunity of doing a large work or making great sacrifices in his service. These may find comfort in the thought that it is not necessarily the martyr's self-surrender which is most acceptable to God. It may not be the missionary who has daily faced danger and death that stands highest in heaven's records. The Christian who is such in his private life, in the daily surrender of self, in sincerity of purpose and purity of thought, in meekness under provocation, in faith and piety, in fidelity in that which is least, the one who in the home life represents the character of Christ, such a one in the sight of God may be more precious than even the world-renowned missionary or martyr. Oh, how different are the standards by which God and men measure character. How different? Why? Because God is on a different system than we are. Now, the laborers in this parable show what kinds of people we have in terms of insight and gratitude and fellowship with the master. When he says to the group of people who go out the last hour, whatever is right, I'll give you, you'll have to admit that with only 1 hour to work, you can't really lose. They could probably eat enough grapes to take care of their supper, and that would compensate for their trouble. The people who went out earlier in the day on the whatever is right I'll give you demanded a little more trust, especially those who went out at the early hour, third hour. There must have been some sort of trust in the master as he picked them up. But the thing that really shows up these kind of people and what kind of characters they have and where their value system is when the pay time comes. In the first place, they called the ones who had been working last to get their pay first. And just imagine that. Have you ever heard of a group of people someday who stand closest to the throne? Have you ever read about them? Who are they? People who have slaved away for Christ for 40 years, 50 years? People who have lived their lifetime working hard for them? Who are? Do you remember who they are? People who were brands plucked from the burning the last minute. And they stand nearest the throne. You better be ready for that. Hadn't you? Hadn't I? Wouldn't it be something to get up tight? Because someone who wasn't as faithful as I was and got in the last minute is nearest the throne. What about these people that find truth and accept Jesus just before probation closes? What about the ones that are plucked from the city and find meaning out at Sea Ranch the last minute? If you don't have your values straight, heaven is going to be a rather miserable place. I heard a preacher say one time that many respectable people are going to be shocked by who shows up on the streets of heaven. People that we thought sure were going to be there, not there, and people we thought sure wouldn't be there, are there, because we have a different measuring system. And on top of that, these people have been working for 12 hours, who got up before sunup, didn't even get a chance to spend any time with the family. You know, they ate in a hurry on their way out the door in order to make it to the vineyard, and they've worked all day, 12 hours in those days. And they're anxious to get home, and they have to wait in line while the people who have been standing all day get their pay first. And according to the parable, they were uptight. They didn't like it. But of course they took courage, because when the people who had only worked for 1 hour got an entire day's wage, well, then the people who had worked for 12 hours multiplied that by 12, right? You'd do that if you were in the crowd. We have a generous master. He gives these people who've only worked 1 hour a whole day's wage. 12 times that, we can stay home tomorrow and take a vacation, in fact, the next 2 weeks, and spend the time with the family. And they were bubbling over with the thought of that when they finally came to their time cards and they received only a day's wage, which is what they'd agreed on. Notice that they were perfectly happy and content until they saw how the other people got treated. And that's when the air got heavy. Now, the people who received a whole day's wage for 1 hour's work could have responded in one of two ways, if you please. They could have said, well, look at this. This master is really naive. He's just a little bit foolish. But if he chooses to be foolish like this, then we'll sleep until 4 o'clock tomorrow, and we'll go out and let him pick us up for another whole day's wage for 1 hour's work. This is the kind of master you can rip off. Or the people who had only worked for 1 hour and got a whole day's wage could have said, this is unbelievable. If this is the kind of master that we have been working with for 1 hour. We would like to get better acquainted with him, and we'll come back tomorrow first thing in the morning and work all day for nothing. The people who had worked all day could have responded in at least two ways. One, the way they didn't, they could have said, isn't this something? Someone who treats everyone the same, regardless of how much work they put in. And they could have said, we had the opportunity to work with this master in the vineyard all day, and what a privilege it's been. And after all, we got what we agreed on. But instead, they became very disgruntled. And I can even see some of them as they got to the place in line where they were to receive their measly little 1 day's wage, going off in a huff and saying, forget it, you can keep your money. That's the way people who are uptight often act. Where are your rewards? Are you looking forward to the reward at the end of the day? Or are you, my friend, really realizing the rewards of fellowship with the Master now, here and now? Have you heard the call to go into the vineyard? And have you responded with obedience and sacrifice, realizing that it would be a greater sacrifice not to go? To obey, after all, is greater than sacrifice. And when the Master calls, regardless of where it is, that's the greatest privilege and the highest honor. In fact, we're told that even fellowship with him in suffering is the top of the whole list. Are you, my friend, in close relationship with Jesus today so that you can hear his voice bidding to service and calling wherever it might be? Will he bring the rewards that we look for sometime at the end of the road, at the end of the day? Yes. But it won't be based upon the sort of things that we base it on in this world. Not in our learning, not in our position, not in our numbers or talents, not in the will of man is to be found the secret of success here. Feeling our inefficiency, we are to contemplate Christ, and through him who is the strength of all strength, the thought of all thought, the willing and obedient will gain victory after victory. Toward what? Toward service and in reaching out for others. Obviously, the willing and obedient have already gained victory after victory in their own lives. But God is looking for those who are willing to gain victory after victory in the obedience and service and the sacrifice involved there. And however short our service, whether it's 1 hour, 3 hours, 6 hours, if in simple faith we follow Christ, we shall not be disappointed of the reward. That is the reward at the end of the day. That which even the greatest and wisest cannot earn, the weakest and most humble may receive. Heaven's golden gate opens not to the self-exalted. It is not lifted up to the proud in spirit, but the everlasting portals will open wide to the trembling touch of a little child. Isn't that good news? Open wide to the trembling touch of a little child. The spirit of self-abnegation, the spirit of humility like Jesus was, the spirit of letting the others go first, even though they came in last. That is the spirit of the gospel. Peter is up front. He's in the spotlight. He is often in the spotlight. He's the one that asks the questions and rushes in for the information. He's the one that leads out on the day of Pentecost. In the back row, you see his brother, content and happy to take a quiet place. And as he sits there, he says, "Isn't that wonderful?" There's Peter up front preaching the gospel. I'll never forget the day that I was able to bring Peter to Christ. And he sits back in the back row and he prays and he thanks the Lord. What a spirit that is. And the people in the crowd around the throne of God say, "Look at that, would you? Someone I never expected to even listen to the gospel. And there they are, right up next to the throne. Praise the Lord." Isn't that the way it's going to be? And someone comes along with his crown heavy with stars. And someone else who has only a few stars looks at the crown heavy with stars and says, "Thank the Lord, praise the Lord." And everyone's happy with their crown. Have you ever heard that? I used to feel that was bad. You should really feel bad if you only have a few stars. You know, for God's sake, not for self, for God. No, everyone's happy. Why? Because whatever God ordered in terms of their place and their station and their service, they have had reward enough, this side of the ultimate reward, in communion and fellowship, the joy of working with the Master. Please, I would like to have that, the glasses through which I look, and it'll only be by God's grace, because humanly speaking, I can't do that. And so may I appeal to you, to the knees often, for the sake of taking on heaven's values and heaven's way of measuring success.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you would discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. American Christian Ministries is not a one-man band. It is an orchestra of outstanding speakers who are all on the same theological page. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.